Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
You want to be successful in as many rounds as you can be. And it's not always going to work out. And we've had our share of hits and misses. And that's the whole idea, is to have more hits than misses.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And that is the voice of George McCaskey. George was talking about the draft when he was out yesterday. Meeting with some folks, meeting with the Heartland Alliance Rapid Employment and Development Initiative. He and Tariq Cohen were out there, and this is the owners are trying to get involved. The owners of sports teams here in Chicago, the Chicago Sports Alliance, was formed at the behest of Jerry Reinsdorf back in 2017. They've donated a lot of money, and they're trying to get all the owners involved and kind of hands-on-ish a little bit with helping stem violence in this city. And certainly there's a lot of that that needs to be done, and they're working with the University of Chicago Crime Lab, which has steered them to different charities that can assist people around the city. So it's it's great to hear from George, especially in something like that. And let's get out to Dan Shanka. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. And Dan, of course, is the man behind Our Lads Draft Services, the go-to spot to understand what's happening in the NFL draft. Good morning, Dan. Thank you for coming on.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Great to be with you. And it won't be long now. We're going to see who the Bears gobble up there at 87.
Well, we have a long way to go to get there, Dan. A lot of anticipation. But if you were the Arizona Cardinals, I guess there are two questions. Who do you think they will draft, and who's the best player in this draft? Are they one and the same?
Well, yeah, they should. To me, they got to go defense. And the best player in this draft is Quinnen Williams, okay? The defensive tackle from Alabama. Terrific football player, dominating guy inside. The Cardinals shot themselves in the foot time after time after time on first-round draft picks, except last year, Josh Rosen was one of their best first-round picks. And now I just can't believe they'd want to jettison him and bring in, a very questionable guy that could hold up in the NFL, and they could get a defensive player and keep on going in the right direction. So I think, and Joey Bosa, he's a guy that we like because he's a big-time pass rusher, but the best football player in this draft is Quinnen Williams from Alabama.
So, the Kyler Murray thing I thought it was real. Is there a chance that they could trade out of that pick if they don't want to take him? You know, when you see a organization clear out all their scouts, as Oakland has done before the draft here, it might be indicative of them making a big move, and they have to be very careful about it because they don't want Carr to get mad if they can't pull it off.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I think that that could be in the cards, but John Gruden has never met a quarterback he didn't like until he gets him on his team, And then, I worked with John for 5 years in Philadelphia, so I know exactly what John's looking for, and like I said, he's not the same guy you see on TV that's coaching on the football field, so. But John's big into splash, and then have another TV guy there like Mayock. He's another splash guy. So, they may try to do something, but hey, they better keep all the picks they got because they need players everywhere. So, including the holes that were self-inflicted.
Thank you,
Chicago Bears.
Bears
benefited from that.
Dan, you're a veteran guy, so when you look at those splash guys in Oakland, John Gruden and Mike Mayock, and they sent their scouts home because maybe they're planning some surprise pick, maybe they're planning something that they don't want to see leaked out. How common is that? Because we've heard different versions, but having been a guy around the league as much as you have been, what was your reaction and how normal was that?
No, it's not normal. And now there are some organizations that say, for instance, they don't belong to a scouting combine, which a lot most do, like belong to Blessedor National, and then you know, what have you. The guys have to go out. If you're an independent, you have to go out on the road to be there pro days and things like that, and that's a little bit different. But no, you after you work so hard and you're away from your family 180 days a year, you know, you'd like to feel good about, you know, sitting there with the coaches and, you know, the other scouts and visiting and, you know, just being a part of the draft day. It's actually called the Scout Super Bowl, you know, and you want to be there and be a part of it and feel like you're a part of the team. I think when you know, the guys got kicked out, you know, and you can say what you want to. Yeah, maybe they would be fired. They're going to hire an old new coaching staff, but, you know, here's a guy who's going to hire scouts that's never made a school call prior to this year in his life. You know, so how much confidence? That's the way you get to know scouts. When you're on the road, you get to know these guys and see how they work, you know, and see how they work or they don't work. And Mayock hadn't had a chance to do that. So, but anyway, I thought it was a very classless move.
Yeah, I was very surprised by it, but I mean, I've certainly seen teams worry about leaks and all that. It just raises your kind of antenna. You think they must be up to something, because why else are they trying to hide it? And I get it; they got a lot of picks, and certainly, you know, they've got needs all over the place. And you know, you mentioned how Gruden loves quarterbacks. Let's talk quarterback for a second, because that's obviously the exciting position for everyone. It looks like Kyler Murray is going to be the first one taken. Do the Giants take a quarterback first? There's been some talk about them doubling back and using their second pick for a quarterback. And how do they fall? We'd heard Dwayne Haskins was highly thought of, and the Giants like him. And then you talk to people, and all of a sudden Drew Locke's making a move, and he could end up being the second quarterback off the board.
Yeah, no, I think that you know, for every team you got out there, you've got a variety of teams that stack these guys a little bit different. Now, I mean, to us, Dwayne Haskins is clearly the top quarterback. I mean, it isn't even close. I mean, it is in regards to, you know, his size, his strength, his ability to move around a little bit in the pocket there, and his the two biggest things he does. He's very accurate, and he makes great decisions. All right, and only 1 year guy. And so he's just going to get better and better. And to me, if I couldn't get Josh Rosen and I was the Giants, if he's not up for trade, then I would definitely take Haskins. I'd take him at 6 and head on down the road. And I know today Dave Gettleman would like to have a defensive player in there. And maybe he's going to roll the dice, take the defensive player, and then try to see who's there at 17. And if the guy's not there, he'll take another defensive player. But we like Haskins. You know, Murray's is a definite system guy, the prototype. You're looking up in the dictionary, system guy, you see Murray's picture. And that's what he's got to fit into a certain scheme. I don't know that Arizona's going to take him, to be honest with you. I think that just because everybody out there, you know, perception sometimes is not reality. And we saw that last year with Baker Mayfield. Sam Darnold's going there. Josh Allen's number one, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then John Dorsey comes out for that. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to take Baker Mayfield. Then also we like Ryan Finley from North Carolina State third, because he doesn't make mistakes. And last time I checked, you win games by avoid losing them. And he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. And he's a ball control quarterback that's also got arm strength that can go down the field. Then we like Daniel Jones after that from Duke. And then we like Drew Locke. Drew Locke just makes too many he makes too many errors. I mean, like I said, you win games by avoid losing them. I mean, he throws into cover. He makes bad decisions time after time. And you know what? We're going to see Locke go in the first round probably. You may see Jones. And I'll tell you, the only ones that maybe – I mean, I'd be shocked, really, if those guys go too high in the first round. I mean, to me, it'd be a wasted draft pick.
Dan, the Bears pick 87th, as you said, and for the first time since Ryan Pace arrived in 2015, he enters the draft without really a pressing need. The roster's in pretty good shape. You're looking at depth more than need. How would you describe what the Bears' mission would be for this draft?
Well, but, you know, I think they certainly could add another linebacker in there. You know, I think that an offensive lineman, there's a terrific, and I don't know that he'll be there, but a guy that we kind of project going in as an offensive guard is Connor McGovern from Penn State, who's a center guard combination. And that, obviously that's what the Bears like, you know, bringing in a Daniels, who's that combination, white hair, he's that combination kind of guy. And, you know, so they might consider that direction, but the linebackers in that area, hey, they could go inside, they could go in outside, just, you know, building some depth. And a linebacker by the name of Pratt from North Carolina State is a possibility because he can really run, can play inside or outside. Vance Joseph from Florida, he's in that same kind of mix. So I think there's, you know, there's going to be, I know the fans have to wait a long time to get to 87, but I think there's going to be some good football players there for the Bears to pull the trigger on.
How deep is the running back class, Dan? Is that a position where you can get even in the fourth, fifth round?
Oh, absolutely. I really believe that. I think that especially if you're willing to roll the dice a little bit too. You know, Rodney Anderson from Oklahoma, he's had an injury history, but he's a 225-pound back that's outstanding, and he's going to be probably available in there. Downhill running backs like the Bears like, Armstead from Temple is going to be there. Henderson from Memphis is going to be there. Weber from Ohio State's probably going to be in that mix. So there's a lot of depth there, maybe not, you know, potential superstar running backs, but golly, there's a lot of depth from late in the third all the way through the fourth and fifth.
Dan, thanks a ton. It's always a joy to talk to you. Really appreciate your time.
Great stuff, Dan. Yep. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That's Dan Shanka from Our Lads Draft Services. Our Lads,
really
fantastic.
Interesting what he has to say about the quarterback position.
I was surprised, to be honest with you, because a lot of people have told me that Drew Lock is making a bit of a move here and that, you know, Haskins, for whatever reasons. Now, the Giants brought him in. And they had him, you know, everyone knows they like him. They brought him in late. He actually went out to lunch with Eli. So they, you know, they not just did.
They bonded.
They were.
And when you talk about recency bias, I wonder about the Lock moving up and Haskins moving down. Haskins has the production. That guy is going to be a star, I think.
David, you know, here's the thing. Everyone's saying, well, if Kyler Murray falls, then there could be two quarterbacks taking the first round. There could be three in the top 10. Don't be surprised.
Yes.
Quarterbacks
happens every year.
Teams that need quarterbacks get on their horse and move up in the draft.
No position is more overdrafted.
Absolutely correct. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
I don't really think too much about the draft because I still have, it don't matter who we draft, I still have to do what I got to do. So I think we will probably get a running back. I'm not sure. You know, we're really not included in those conversations because, like I said, I still have to get up, you know, work out and do those things and you know, prepare for the season.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Tariq Cohen, and he believes the Bears are going to draft a running back with the 87th pick in the NFL draft.
Safe bet. Good bet.
Yeah, I think, since Jordan Howard was traded.
It's a consensus idea.
They've created a need. Is that fair? Or
no,
did Mike Davis erase that need?
I would not look at it that way. I would look at it, well, you could say the Bears have a need at running back, but I don't know if that's accurate because you look at Tariq Cohen and Mike Davis, they're good at the position if they don't get a running back or if they get a running back that doesn't pan out. I would say that they're okay there. You'd like to have another one. You'd like to have three.
Yeah.
But I don't know that they have to go into this thinking, we've got to get a running back or else.
Yeah, and if no one wants to use a first-round pick on a running back, and if there is a belief that you can fill that spot even off the street, and they've got Mizell, they got Nall, they got other guys floating around the organization, then why would you use your limited number of picks on something like that? I really want them to come out of this thing with an interior lineman. I think that's a good call on behalf of Dan Shanka. But he said a few things there that are really wacky.
He did. Well, wacky or at least unorthodox.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But here's the thing. And I really can dig that with Dan Shanka because, you know, there's two types of scouts, okay? There are scouts that go out and look at the board, look at players. And he's seen all these players, and he's talking to everyone about them, and then he's coming up with his own opinion of it. And then there are guys that you call phone scouts. And these are guys that in order to protect your own rear end, in order to protect what you're bringing to the table. You call three or four of your buddies and you compare notes on every player, and you got to make sure that your opinion is also shared by
others.
You
don't want to be too far out there.
Yes.
Because then you'll stand out for being too far out there.
And you
might not be right.
And
so you might not be as secure in your job as maybe somebody else is.
Now, the worst thing that can happen in an organization, and there's a belief that this came close to happening with the Bears, is if you have a guy that is such a good scout and you trust him so much that you want to take a player he recommends, it carries more weight than other players do. And unless he is checking a position, right? If Chris Ballard is an area scout and you trust Chris's opinion, are you more likely to draft a guy that he likes as opposed to another scout who you don't trust as much and doesn't have the confidence, doesn't get on a table? So that's why you cross check.
That's human nature.
You have guys looking at positions, and then the guy might change his opinion because he's seeing more than just his area, right?
And I don't defend this, but that's why Mike Mayock and John Gruden are clearing the room, because that's part of the reason why. They don't want any outside interferences. They don't want to trust one guy over another. They don't want leaks, but they also don't want to be influenced by a scout who might be able to stand on the table and make his case better than somebody else.
Well, I don't think that's why they're doing it. I think it's leaks. I think that they're planning a big move. And they know
what they want to do, but they don't want anybody to have any other input.
But boy, did Dan kind of rip them. Because
he said,
well, he thought it was a classless move, but he also called both of them splash guys, that they want to get a splash. See, this is not the year to splash for the Oakland Raiders. They got to play one more season in the Bay Area. What they need to do is build their team up, get the best players available at every pick.
Well, let
they
me
have,
just say this too.
As opposed to trying to bring a crowd in, they need to have the big impact going into Vegas the next year.
The draft is never
year.
The time to splash. Free agency,
no,
make a splash.
No,
the draft is a time to remove all of those sort of external factors and say, you're not making this move for marketing purposes. You're not making this move for any other reason except for when you put on the tape.
Yeah.
And the scouts are surrounding you in the room, and they say, that is a guy we have to have. That is Quinnen Williams. That is the guy we have to have in this draft. That is whoever it is you've identified. And I was really surprised that Dan Shanka said that when he looked at the quarterbacks, he started ranking quarterbacks.
Right.
Ryan Finley was the guy that he mentioned, I think, third. It was the third or fourth quarterback he mentioned.
Yeah.
He's the ninth-rated quarterback in Sports Illustrated's draft position rankings. He's not a guy that you see kind of ascend to the top four or five.
Again,
that surprised me.
If you're a scout and you like a player, you can't be afraid to say, well, no, like, what does Sports Illustrated think, or I'll like him, or who else should I call? He's got his own opinion, which is why it's good, because it's just his opinion.
Well, that's what's fascinating to me about the Cardinals' choice and the dilemma that they're facing. Kyler Murray is the guy that maybe their coach, the guru, Cliff Kingsbury, thinks when he puts on the tape stands out to him more than any other player. If he picks him, that could be defending or representing everything that you just discussed, and yet it'll be interpreted as a splash move.
And guys, did you see this NFL Network thing from Ian Rappaport that the reason they did that is that the Raiders are looking at some sort of surprise pick at number four? That's why they sent everyone home.
Or you know, maybe a trade up to wind up with Kyler Murray. Maybe they plan on packaging some of those picks.
That would not surprise me at all.
You know?
I just visualize Gruden and Mayock in the building and no one else is there. They don't let the cleaning crew in. All the lights are off. They just have their computers on.
I'll say this. I'm going to miss Mayock
on the draft.
He's very
good on the draft.
He was always very good.
Yeah.
FootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
We get better and better.
NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mike Florio joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal, and we always love our chance to talk to Mike Florio. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
What's going on, guys?
Very exciting. Leading up to the draft, the Bears probably won't get involved on Thursday. They're just above the fray. But, yeah, they have no picks. But by that 87th
yes, they do.
Pick.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, number 87.
It's the Stephen Jones. Watch Amari Cooper film. That's what the Cowboys are doing. They'll watch Khalil Mack film during the first night of the draft.
And they'll enjoy every minute.
Well, I want to watch some Oakland film. I want to know what the hell's going on with the Raiders. I get it. Everyone's saying, well, you know, they're trying to keep Secret Squirrel dating Morocco Mole and no one to know about it. But it is cloak and dagger business, the NFL. But have you ever seen anything like this? I get it, not letting guys in your war room, but telling people to pack up and get out of here, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think most teams have at least general concerns that if people who know things that don't need to know those things can't be trusted, then they're going to blab to somebody. That's why you have to be very careful with who you tell things within an organization, and why most normally functioning teams will restrict who has access to the draft board, who has access to the draft room, who has access to any information about how they're constructing the draft board, etc. My theory, after having a few days to think about it and mull it over, and this was sparked by the report yesterday that there's some sort of surprise that the Raiders are supposedly considering with the fourth overall pick that necessitated an even higher level of secrecy. I think that John Gruden can't keep his mouth shut internally, because he's that guy, and every workplace has that guy who goes door to door, office to office, plops his ass down in the guest chair with a cup of coffee and has to talk. And because, you know, here's what I'm going to do, and I want to sound my idea out. I want to hear myself talk. I want to see how this person reacts. And if they're planning some curveball, I think there's a real temptation that Gruden is going to blab to some of the other people who are in the building about what's going on, just to see how people react to it and to gauge whether or not they think it's a good idea or a bad idea. So you get rid of all those people who can't be trusted with that kind of sensitive information, and you've protected John Gruden from John Gruden.
That's not a bad
awesome.
Theory.
That's awesome.
Mike, every year at the NFL Combine, you've got prospects who won't run or lift. You got quarterbacks who won't throw. Why do people still take the Wonderlic test then? Why wouldn't next year somebody go in and say, I'm not taking the Wonderlic test because I don't want the results to be leaked like they are every year, like they were again yesterday, and to be embarrassed or risk dropping in the draft because someone attaches a lot of importance to this number that may or may not predict, you know, whether or not you're going to be a good NFL player.
Yeah, and I think it's one thing for the teams to have exclusive access to the numbers. It's another thing if there's a really low number and it becomes public, and then it becomes a PR consideration for whether or not you're drafting a guy who is objectively viewed as not being very smart. I mean, there are so many reasons why players get low scores on the Wonderlic. I would say to this day, a lot of guys show up and they don't even know they're going to be taking the damn thing. They don't even know what it is. They aren't prepared for it. They don't think about it. I'm not here to take tests. I'm here to run and jump and catch passes and do whatever my position group is going to do. And I've said for years that what players should do is say, I refuse to take this test unless you can give me an absolute and complete guarantee that my number will never be disclosed to anyone outside of the 32 teams. And of course, they can't give you that guarantee because every year somebody blabs. But I would just refuse to take it. And okay, so how do you play this out? Well, all right, then it becomes a red flag. Oh, we refuse to take the Wonderlic test. All right, fine, don't draft me. And then someone else in your division will draft me, and you can face the consequences of skipping over me because I refuse to take an outdated test, the results of which are supposedly secret, but that secrecy can never be fully secured. And, you know, the problem is anytime you do anything that separates you from the robots that they want these guys to be, that's viewed as a bad thing. I think smart teams would look at that and view it as a good thing.
I was amused when I saw that Kevin Colbert said that he doesn't use a draft chart in any way. You know, Jimmy Johnson famously had the draft chart created so you could figure out how many points each pick was worth and move up and down. I don't know anyone that locks into the draft chart, but it is just something to discuss so you know you're kind of on the same page. And if he's not using it, everyone else can throw it at him, and he's using it that way.
Well, that's right. You don't have to use it, but if the offers that you're getting are based on it, then you are using it. You're absolutely right. Here's the thing about the Jimmy Johnson draft trade chart. When the CBA dramatically changed in 2011 to make it much cheaper to draft guys at the top, it in theory should be harder to trade up because and I remember back in 2007, 8, 9, 10, nobody wanted to trade up into the top five because you were stepping into this gigantic contract, most of which was guaranteed. And if the guy ends up being a bust, you've wrecked your salary cap. If your team still stinks, you're back in that top five again with another huge contract to another player. I mean, the Lions had three of those guys at one point. They had Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson, and Ndamukong Suh, all in pre-2011 high-end rookie deals, pick two or higher. And so people were avoiding that. Now, because the financial obligation is so much lower, those picks should be worth more when you trade up. But ultimately, here's the thing that people forget. You're not trading up for a spot. You're trading up for a player. And I think ultimately, the draft chart doesn't matter as much as what is the value of this player. That's who you're trading. If Kyler Murray falls to two and the 49ers are trading that pick, they're not trading the second overall pick. They are trading Kyler Murray. That's why the Rams got so much for RG3 in 2012. Four spots is what Washington climbed. And look at all they had to give up to do it because they weren't trading for the second overall pick in the draft. In the abstract, they were trading for RG3. And I think that's the biggest factor in all of this. And we lose sight of that. You're trading for a player, not for a pick.
We do. Here in Chicago, the Bears traded up to get Mitch Trubisky, not the spot. That's very well put, and it's worth remembering because that's going to happen somewhere along the draft in the first round on Thursday night. So, Mike, which is more likely to happen on Thursday night? The Raiders trade up to get the number one pick with the Cardinals? The Cardinals take a defensive player, or the Cardinals take Kyler Murray?
I think that the Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray, and I'm going to continue to think that until Kyler Murray either doesn't go to Nashville for the draft. Now, apparently they're traveling today, so that window's about to close. If Murray is in Nashville for the draft, then unless he's prepared to leave, then I think if he's not going to be the first pick, it will be credibly reported by multiple national reporters with a track record for breaking news that he's not going to be the first overall pick. Here's why I say that. Murray's not going to walk into an embarrassment on Thursday night where people think he's the number one guy and he ends up not being the number one guy. And his agent, Eric Burkhart, represents Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach of the Cardinals. So even though Kingsbury may not be making the final decision, Kingsbury's going to know what the Cardinals are going to do, and Kingsbury needs to tell Burkhart, who needs to tell Murray, and then if the end result is Murray's still hell-bent on going to the draft because he's in Nashville and he doesn't want to pack up and leave, then Burkhart needs to start calling people up in the national media saying Kyler's not going to be the first overall pick, because that needs to be out there before the moment that, you know, the cameras are trained on the guys who are going to walk across the stage and everybody loses their mind because Murray didn't get picked first overall. So I'm going to continue, based upon the status quo right now, to believe that it's Murray. Barring a credible report that it's not, or Murray not going to Nashville, I think it's going to be Murray.
That's fascinating. I love that idea. Do you have any feel for who's going to win the draft? Is there somebody who's going to make a bold move or somebody's going to pick up something?
Well, I don't, you know, you never know who wins or loses the draft until we know how these guys play. And, you know, we used to do this shtick where we would give out all the draft grades right after the draft everybody would get an incomplete. You know, I mean, there's no way to know. And then there's always some smartass who says, well, why don't you go back 3 years and grade the draft? Well, I would if there was a market for it. But you know what? In this sport, nobody wants to look backward, except for Hall of Fame debates. Nobody wants a grade from the draft 3 years ago. They want an immediate grade from the draft right now. And they don't even care if it's not reliable. They just want you to attach a grade. The problem is there's a digital footprint for everything that you say and do nowadays. So yeah, I think it is a reckless exercise. It's throwing at a dartboard in a dark room, and you don't even know there's a dartboard in the room. I mean, you don't know how to evaluate these guys, because with every one of these picks, no one knows what they're going to do until they get to the next level, they get into a regular season game, and they get hit in the mouth by a grown-ass man. How are they going to respond to that? Are they going to, but you know, every level you hear, oh, it's so much faster, it's so much harder. Well, for every player who's successful at the college level, there's a ceiling between that level of success and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And with none of the, no, all the money they spend, all the time that's wasted traveling from state to state and campus to campus and this kind of thing, and ultimately no one has cracked the code on what it takes to find a guy who, you know, consistently is going to be among the best NFL players in the league.
Mike, thanks a ton. Always
a
joy.
Enjoy. All right, see
you guys. Yep.
That is Mike Florio. A pleasure to talk to Mike.
And what he says about moving up to get a player and not the spot is worth remembering.
Yes,
every
I
time
agree.
You complain about the haul that somebody gives up to move up to get this guy that doesn't pan out, that's the one they wanted. They didn't. It wasn't necessarily according to a draft board or anything else except for their desire to get that player.
So if you have to have Mitchell Trubisky, so you have to move up to get him, and if you don't move up, he might go to someone else, are you then stuck taking, I don't know, Patrick Mahomes?
Well, yes, but you don't know that you have Patrick Mahomes when you take him because you fell in love with the other guy.
Because you didn't do a good enough job with the draft?
Well, maybe.
Is that it?
Maybe.
I'm just saying.
You fell in love with the other guy. You're going to be convicted. You're going to have conviction to go get the other guy.
You're going
to
be convicted.
You're going to be convicted, too.
Illegal love of a
Mitchell Trubisky. You are guilty of being stupid.
It's Mully and Haw. We'll bring in Dan and Connor next on The Score.